Second hour of Darren and Donick here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Thursday. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. Titans wide receiver Corey Davis coming up to kick off the third hour of the program. We told you we would have a conversation with Ryan Leaf, and we are about to do that right now. He is on the line with us. He was just in our city a couple days ago delivering a speech at a luncheon, a sold-out luncheon at the Music City Center. Ryan, how you doing?
I'm good, fellas. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you. I hear great things about the event you just put on, and where people are really moved by it. Like I said, sold out, packed house. Tell everybody why you were in our town a couple days ago.
Yeah, I was there just to speak to your community, and in particular, it was a fundraiser for a local program called Dismiss House, and it's a program for formerly incarcerated individuals for when they transition out of prison, and how difficult that can be, walking back into a community, back into society, and doing the next right thing and being accepted and given a second chance. And I think it's just a great program. I was exactly in that same spot 4.5 years ago, and I had no idea what was going to happen. I didn't have a lot of prospects on the horizon for me. People weren't asking me to come give keynote speeches in Nashville. So it took a lot of work. It took a lot of faith from people in my community and people who supported me, and I wanted to be able to do that for Gerald Brown and the community of Nashville.
Ryan, it's such a huge issue, and it's something that, and I'll give you my perspective. I remember sitting in a college sociology class, and one of the things that was talked about was, you know, how often it happens where somebody comes out of prison, how prone they are to end up back in prison. And I honestly, at that point in my life, I don't think I had ever thought about that. I just thought, well, once you get out of prison, you're out of prison. But it's so much more than that, right? I mean, it's so much more.
Yeah, you develop this institutionalization, it's not a deterrent, right? You get out and no one gives you an opportunity, which there are consequences for your actions, of course. So it's going to be hard work, but you have the choice of dealing with it in a healthy way. And I think that's the biggest point. The recidivism rate in our country is over 50%. Let's put it this way. There was 88 individuals on my cell block back where I was at, and 86 of which have either gotten out or never got out and have come back. There's only been two of us who stayed out. So we're the exception. The rule is you go out, you get out, you go back. It just becomes a recyclable thing and a vicious cycle. So we want to try to end that. And what Gerald and Dismiss House is doing in Nashville is a perfect example of that. And our values matched up completely. So it was just an honor for me to be able to speak to the community. And really, I listened to a few of the guys that were in the house at the time right now. And boy, their stories are so inspirational. And they're really just like mine. And I think that's important for me to stand in front of them and tell them, hey, I'm just like you, regardless of if I played in the NFL or had all this and had all that. I still was able to go to the same place as any other human being can, because we're all the same.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you lived it, and so that's part of it. But your name, it goes further, and people recognize the name and the voice, so you have a power to get a message out there. But you didn't have to do this, Ryan, even though you know all of this and you went through all of this. So why did you decide to do some really good things by going down this path?
Well, it's my mentors. My mentors, the guys that I met and I sought out after I got out. I went and asked them how they got the life that they had. And that was one of peace and serenity. And they told me how they got it, and I followed their direction verbatim. And this is one of them. They say you can't keep this peaceful, unchaotic life unless you give it away. And by that, by going out and sharing your story, trying to be an impact, trying to be of service to your fellow human being, that's the only way I get to keep this peaceful, unchaotic life. And you're right. My name is going to resonate every April. It's going to continue, especially with me being in the media platform now as well, commenting on college football and the NFL and things like that. So it's going to continue, and I thought I might as well just take the power back from it and use it to the best of my ability to make an impact on everybody else. And it's it's been very fruitful and given me a very grateful life so far.
Good for you. Ryan Leaf on the line with us, the two of us. I guess this means we're getting older, or getting, some would say, getting old. Both of us were at Vanderbilt Stadium covering the game, which I guess it was then the Tennessee Oilers versus the San Diego Chargers.
Opening, at least a home opener for for the Oilers.
And you were the quarterback, and you actually you won that game against the Oilers. Nashville's changed a bit since 1998, hasn't it?
It has. And ironically, I've been asked to come back to Nashville a number of times. In fact, over the last 3 years, it's been the place where I've spoken the most. I'm going to be back in July and back in October to speak. My father wanted to go down to Nashville in March for his 70th birthday party as a whole family, so we were there. I had planned on being out there for the draft, but I had another commitment that I had. So, yeah, Nashville is just a wonderful community. You know, I think there's just a feeling around country music, right, that just kind of gives you that kind of down-home country feeling, and Nashville turns it into something. I talked to one of the drivers when I was going to the airport and heard about how Nashville's become this bachelorette and bachelor party mecca, and the biggest comment was it's just the people feel safe. You know, they know that at all hours of the night, they feel safe in your town. And I think that's a testament to everybody who lives there and makes your community great.
Yeah, we're no longer known for country music. We're known for scooters, pedal taverns, and bachelorette parties.
The pedal taverns, man, those are full go there, I tell you what.
We were having I wanted to run this by you because we've been talking about this a lot, and I want to go through your quarterback eyes and just ask you, when you see Marcus Mariota, you see what?
I see a leader, and that's what you always need in the NFL. I think a lot of undue pressure is placed upon quarterbacks in the NFL. It's going to happen, but you guys have a good one, and he's capable of doing things like we saw 2 years ago in Kansas City. You know, he's making the next step. I feel like last year really kind of went backwards a little bit, but we found out more and more how banged up he was, and that's always the biggest thing. So the first thing I think about him is leadership, and a meaningful role model in your community. I think that's what you need. This team has to be about everybody. It has to be a nucleus. It can't just be about Marcus, right? It has to be about everybody. It has to be about a running game. Henry's been amazing. They need to do a better job on the perimeters of the wide receiver position. I think with Mike Vrabel in that defense, I think they're going to be a different impact on defense. I think that first week, everybody's talking about the Cleveland Browns. I think everybody's going to have a different thing to say after week one when Tennessee shows Cleveland what that division or what that conference is all about.
We're talking to former NFL quarterback Ryan Leaf, and he is telling his story. He has just spoken to a group here in Nashville. And Ryan, your travels have taken you to a lot of different places, speaking to a lot of different groups. I notice here you got to actually get a chance to go down and talk to the Alabama football program at one point. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah. Nick Saban was the first coach to reach out. So that kind of just tells you where his mindset is and how open-minded and where he sees things going. And I was able to go down there and speak to his football program. And then what that does is, by him asking me to do that, I just become a referral to every other coach in the country.
Yeah.
Because they're going to try to follow him up. So, you know, this fall I'm at Clemson. Every August, I just take kind of a tour of the college campuses and speak to football programs, just not necessarily telling them what not to do or what to do. It's just my story and what can happen. You know, both things can be true. You can be the second overall pick in the NFL draft and a famous millionaire and also become a drug addict and go to prison, right? I mean, both things can happen. It's life. 'Cause at 19, 20, 21 years old, you hear my story and you go, that's an awesome story, but that will never happen to me. And I'm able to say, well, yeah, well, which part? You're not going to be the junkie felon, or you're not going to be the famous football playing millionaire in the NFL. So it's a good story. It captures their attention. Coaches really like that. They like to see the engagement. And then when I try to stay in contact with the team, over the years after I leave, just so there's some consistency when things happen.
In order to do what you're doing, you had to get to a point where you were open about being willing to talk about the struggles that you've had. When did you get to that point? When did you get secure enough and comfortable enough that you said, you know what, I'm okay opening up and telling everybody this because I can help people?
Well, it's been an evolution, right? I mean, the negativity of what existed, you know, shook me to my core. It just took me to the very bottom. I went to a prison cell because I wasn't able to deal with life on life's terms. So it's taken a long time, and it's still evolving, right? You know, it's emotionally exhausting to go tell the story, of course, but I understand the feedback I get, people who reach out and get help and the lives that are changed, that's validation enough. I'm not there to say, hey, everybody, look how great I am doing. You know, that's not what it's about. In fact, it can never be about me again. It has to be about the individual that is out there that needs help and needs maybe somebody who crashed all the way to the bottom to not go to the same place. So it's ever evolving. I was in my hometown for the first time speaking since my incarceration. It was difficult, but I've found the humility, which I believe is the understanding of who you are, regardless of what anybody else thinks. And I think that even though things have been going well the last few years, I think I really was able to take a good hard look at myself when I was back home speaking to my home community and realizing that, you know what, I'm in that place where it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of me, says about me or anything. It's I understand who I am, and I'm okay with the guy I'm looking at in the mirror every morning.
Fantastic stuff. Now, your hometown, I believe, is Great Falls, Montana. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So I can tell you, Ryan, I spent a summer, and who knows, maybe you were kicking around the town. It would be the summer of 93 in the Pioneer League as a member of the Medicine Hat Blue Jays. We were in the same division as the Great Falls Dodgers. So we spent many I think we played 18 times over the summer or something. We were wearing out the path from Canada to Great Falls and all those towns in Montana. What a great experience that was for me. It is a different place, isn't it, right? It's just that whole countryside. It's just unbelievably scenic.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I'm really, really grateful to be from there. And you're right, I was. I was probably at a ton of your games. I would go there, Raul Mondesi and that Caros, Ramon Martinez, Pedro Martinez, all came through there in Great Falls when I was growing up. So I mean, it was neat to be able to check out those guys. And so yeah, it definitely was. I was going into my senior year of high school that summer.
Yeah, I probably got heckled by Ryan Leaf. I didn't even know it because I was I think I was hitting about 195 in a lot of those games.
Who's that bum at first? Hey, Ryan.
I don't think I've ever been a heckler. I'll tell you that. So.
Hey, really appreciate the visit. That's really cool that you're coming back for a couple more visits. If you ever want us to get the word out, we'll be more than happy to help. We'd love to talk to you again down the road. How about we talk some college football, too, the next time we speak? We appreciate you doing this.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we're really getting ramped up, about 100 days out from college football, so getting pretty excited. Going to take a little vacation here for the next couple weeks, but then when I get back, you know, it's on and popping with college football and prepping for that. So definitely, guys.
Go enjoy your time with your family. Have a good vacation. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, gentlemen. Have a great day.
All right, you do the same. That is Ryan Leaf. Really good conversation.
Great
there.
Stuff.
A couple days ago, he was here at the Music City Center. There were 650 people you heard him talk about at the beginning of the interview, and now he's trying to help people that have been locked up, and life afterwards is not easy. Everybody thinks, oh, well, you're out, you're free. Hey, everything's great. No, doesn't work that way. It's not like everybody's lining up to hire you and
exactly.
Help you. And so there's a lot that goes into it. And he is speaking to those folks trying to help them. And he just did that a couple of days ago in our city. And as he just told us, we'll be back a couple more times for speaking engagements. We'll come back more of Darren and Donick on the other side, 102.5 The Game. I wanted to run this by you because we've been talking about this a lot, and I want to go through your quarterback eyes and just ask you, when you see Marcus Mariota, you see what?
I see a leader, and that's what you always need in the NFL. I think a lot of undue pressure is placed upon quarterbacks in the NFL. It's going to happen, but you guys have a good one, and he's capable of doing things like we saw 2 years ago in Kansas City. He's making the next step. I feel like last year really kind of went backwards a little bit, but we found out more and more how banged up he was, and that's always the biggest thing. So for the first thing I think about him is leadership and a meaningful role model in your community. I think that's what you need. This team has to be about everybody. It has to be a nucleus. It can't just be about Marcus, right? It has to be about everybody. It has to be about a running game. Henry's been amazing. They need to do a better job on the perimeters of the wide receiver position. I think with Mike Vrabel in that defense, I think they're going to be a different impact on defense. I think that first week, everybody's talking about the Cleveland Browns. I think everybody's going to have a different thing to say after week one when Tennessee shows Cleveland what that division or what that conference is all about.
There you go. Ryan Leaf just appeared on the show talking about Marcus Mariota. I've been saying it for a good while. The Cleveland Browns will be the most overbet, overhyped team in the first month of the season. And my guess is a lot of people will lose a lot of money on the Cleveland Browns. And Vegas will probably rake. And for all the states that now have legal gambling and sports books, they'll rake as well. Because I think everybody will be on the Cleveland train, no matter what the line is, and they'll be overinflated, and you'll probably see an opportunity to go against them and make some money. That's just my opinion. And Ryan Leaf was saying, hey, everybody's going to pick the Browns to win that game. They'll be surprised if the Titans go in and win. A PGA Championship, we're going to talk to Damon Hack from the Golf Channel at the bottom of the hour. They're, of course, at Bethpage Black up in New York. Brooks Koepka is currently the leader at 6 under. He's through 14. Luke List is 3 under. That's second place, and he's through 12. Tommy Fleetwood is -2. Adam Scott, Justin Rose, Ricky Fowler, all -1. And you've got Tiger even through 14. Even through 14. So we'll talk to Damon Hack at the bottom of the hour. Good conversation with Ryan Leaf.
I thought that was outstanding. I didn't know a lot of the details of what Ryan was doing, but I just think it's fantastic. I want to paint a picture here for you. You tell me, Darren. And I don't know exactly what year Nick Saban brought him in, but Nick Saban
said, we have to go back and listen. Yeah. I thought he said,
and Marquise might remember because he remembers when it happened. He was working down there around the time. Nick Saban has been a great visionary at bringing people in to talk to his group, to help influence them. I think it's a great thing he did. Herm Edwards is a guy, you can actually pull it up on YouTube, some of the things he said to Alabama. He brings different people in. And he said he's thankful for Coach Saban because he was the first guy to say, I want you to come talk to my team.
You know who else he brought in? I remember seeing this piece, Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was April of like last year. If I can remember
clearly. For Leaf?
Yeah, for Leaf out of Alabama. So,
he said, you know, once Nick Saban brings you in, now all of a sudden, hey, can you come talk to my team, right? Now you have the best referral you could have. So he's now opened some doors and talked. He said he's going to Clemson. He's going to some other teams. But let me ask you this, Marquise. When he sat down there, right, and Nick Saban says, I want to introduce you to Ryan Leaf. He's going to come speak to you today. How many of the Alabama players do you think knew who he was? I mean, he was the second pick in the draft behind Peyton Manning in 1998. So we're talking about 22 years ago, 21 years ago?
Unfortunately, they probably knew him for the wrong reasons, possibly.
But do you think they even knew that? Like, I don't even think that has been top of mind for a long, long time. Like,
his spiraling downward.
Yeah. Like you know it. But the players who are, you know, they're a little younger. They're 18, 20, 21 years old. They probably were not aware, right? So as he's saying, as Ryan's painting the picture of, you know, how he delivers his message, and he says, okay, all of you think this is not going to happen to you, right? But when you say, you know, you think you got it made when you're the second pick in the draft, well, look what happened to me, right? It is true that it doesn't always go the way it's planned. What I mean, it's a powerful message for sure. But I think it's a great thing that Nick Saban is doing. It's a great thing that Ryan Leaf is doing, because it's a valuable message. It's amazing how the right guy, the right day, can make an impact on a kid just sitting out there, a group of 100 players, right, in a classroom or wherever they were. I just think that's a great thing. Who can deliver the message better than the person that it happened to? It'd be one thing to show a film of, hey, this was Ryan Leaf. You think you got it made? Well, this guy was the second pick in the draft. Look what happened to him. That's one thing to just use him as an example, but to actually have him come in there and him being able to do
that. See, that's what Saban likes to do.
Yeah.
Two things he likes to do. He likes to send message to his players via the media. That's why you hear all these rants. And he likes to bring people in because, you know, he can tell these guys all day, like, don't go to the draft if you're not a first-round grade or a second-round grade, so don't go. And he bring people in as, like, this is an example of why I tell you guys these things. I don't just tell you guys these things because I'm trying to look out for my program or anything. I'm doing this to help you as the player and as the person as well. So I think that's why he brings guys like Ryan Leaf in. He brings guys like Kobe Bryant in and just kind of get these guys' minds right. Because, like, you're not going to listen to me. You're going to listen to Kobe Bryant. All you guys know who Kobe Bryant is.
Right.
So you guys are going to listen to him.
And he was a winner.
Yeah, exactly. So if you guys think all this is like, oh, we're going to go to the NFL, we're going to have a, you know, great career, all this, let me show you the other side. This is why I tell you guys to stay in school and try to get your degree, because this is the reason. And Ryan Leaf shares his story, and, you know, I think it's helpful for those players.
It is interesting that when Nick Saban does something, then everybody follows, right? Everybody wants to follow suit.
I don't know if Dabo can get Kobe anytime soon. He may.
I think Dabo can do basically whatever he wants. He is in the same ilk as Nick Saban.
Well, he stole Drake from Alabama, which is a good thing. So Drake is now on the Dabo Sweeney Clemson train.
Drake reminds me of Kenny Chesney. It's just like wherever he is, that's the hat and the jersey he's going to wear. Am I wrong? Isn't that the way it feels about Kenny Chesney?
He was wearing 76ers shorts.
I thought he was a Tennessee guy, but every time I see him, it doesn't matter. It's just wherever he is, he's got the hat and the jersey on wherever he is.
He was wearing a throwback 76ers like shorts during Game 7 of the Raptors, and he's from Toronto, obviously.
Right, he sits front row for Raptors games. But, I mean, he just kind of seems like he's in the – wherever he is, that's the moment he's in. I don't know what his – loyalties are, who they're to me it's wherever he is. That's what it feels like. Brock Huard is a guy that we've talked to a lot. We'll have Richard Deitch on the program tomorrow. We can ask him about this. Brock Huard is a guy we've talked to a lot. He is leaving ESPN to go to Fox Sports, so best of luck to Brock Huard. Also, Darren Woodson is leaving ESPN, so we can get into all that with Richard Deitch tomorrow. We'll come back. Damon Hack from the Golf Channel. We'll talk about the PGA Championship. First, I want to talk to all the men out there. I've been telling you for years about my friends over at Cool Springs MD, and they know a lot of you men out there have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances, and Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is front and center in all of that. He's the board-certified physician over there. His wife, Daphne, is the registered nurse, and their experienced staff want to give you men the treatments that are required to improve your quality of life. And as we all get older, who doesn't want that? I know I do. Cool Springs MD, their services have already helped a ton of you here in the Middle Tennessee area with improving your immune systems, your energy levels, your cognitive function, and so much more. They're there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. If you want that healthy lifestyle, you want to achieve that, what are you waiting for? Pick up the phone and make that appointment like I have. Dial this number, 615-660-6900. That's 660-6900. Or you can always visit their website, coolspringsmd.com. The 101st PGA Championship underway. Bethpage Black up in New York. Back here on Darren and Donick. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick. Damon Hack from the Golf Channel. It's been nice enough to join us. Damon, how you doing?
I'm doing great, fellas. How about yourself?
Doing fantastic. It's not wet and rainy like it was yesterday in Nashville. The sun is out. It's supposed to be in the 80s. I suspect it's not in the 80s in New York yet.
No. I started out in the upper 40s to 50s at the in New York City. And blessedly so, the sun shining for most of the morning in Farmingdale, which is kind of the middle part of Long Island, about 30 miles east of Times Square, 55 miles to the west of Shinnecock, where last year's U.S. Open was. So he should get into the upper 60s by the middle of the afternoon, and they're playing golf, and Brooks Koepka's making birdies. What else is new, huh?
Yeah, no doubt. He is atop the leaderboard at 6 under. So let me ask you, and I don't know how this is going to play out the rest of the way, but you know, probably weather could be an issue. It's not going to be their typical golf weather. Maybe, as you said, downright cold at times. How will that affect this field the rest of the way, in your opinion?
Well, I think this is a young man's golf course, and I thought so even before the tournament started. But then you throw in some tough conditions in terms of the rough and the cold temperatures. There's some potential for some rain on Friday. This feels like it's going to be a slog. And not so much it's going to be like a mudder's week on week. I think the temperatures in the weekend actually can climb into the 70s. But this is a big, meaty golf course. It just feels like a young man's major. You know, Tiger, when he won in 2002, was 26 years of age. Lucas Glover in 09, when he won the U.S. Open, was 29. Nick Watney was 31. Patrick Reed was 26 when they won playoff events at Bethpage Black. This is 72 holes of an arduous walk. A lot of long par fours. It just feels like it's going to be someone who's strong. And I think that's why you're seeing the likes of Brooks Koepka playing well so far, Tommy Fleetwood. And you have to drive the ball on a string. And you have to be able to get the ball occasionally out of the rough, muscle it out, and be able to withstand one of the toughest physical tests in all of golf.
Do you like the fact that they've moved it to this point? Do you, as we sit here in mid-May, do you like it where it is?
I do. I was one who didn't like the two-month gap between the Masters and the U.S. Open. I think that there's some symmetry in having a big tournament. You know, the players moves back to March, the Masters in April, the PGA in May, the U.S. Open in June, the Open in July, the FedEx Cup playoffs in August. I just like the rhythm of that, and it really means that, you know, if you're a player who's playing well, and I think there's a reason why you're seeing Brooks continuing to play well, Francesco, a Tiger made an eagle on the uphill par 5 fourth hole. If you're playing well during this time of the year, you can rattle off a couple of big trophies in a short period of time. You know, conversely, someone like Jordan Spieth trying to get on the ball, you know, hasn't been playing well. Justin Thomas injured, missing this tournament, knowing he has some other big championships coming up. So, you know, it can be a detriment if you're not playing well. But if you're playing well, man, you got to love a condensed schedule with all these big championships in a short period of time.
You already said it. Koepka is atop the leaderboard. But, look, there's a lot of guys that still haven't even teed off yet today. Yeah. Who are some names, Damon, that we need to pay close attention to throughout the PGA Championship?
Yeah, I'm really looking at chalk. I'm looking at guys like Dustin Johnson, who drives the ball fantastically well, Rory McIlroy, John Rahm is playing this afternoon, Rahm from Spain. Really, the only thing working against John Rahm is a little bit of a maturity factor, especially in these major championships. Occasionally gets down on himself, will throw a putter against his bag, and next thing you know, he's made a string of bogeys. But as far as talent goes, it's a heavy ball. It's a ball a long way, which will, you know, come in great aid to him, you know, when the temperatures are pretty cool. Ricky Fowler, under par early as well. Many consider him the best player without a major championship. Seems almost always contend. Has about 10 top 10s in major championships so far. You know, has played, you know, well this season with a win in Phoenix, a runner-up at the Honda Classic. So he's also a name to consider. He hits the ball long enough. One of the best putters on the PGA Tour. So guys like DJ Rahm, I'm really thinking it's going to be a big game that wins this championship. It doesn't feel like there's going to be a week where somebody comes out of nowhere. This is a, you know, pull up your bootstraps and, you know, tie on your chin strap and be ready to battle for 72 holes. I think it'll be one of the best players in the world that gets it done this week as opposed to maybe a one-hit wonder.
Damon Hack is with us. He covers the PGA Tour for the Golf Channel. We're talking about the PGA Championship going on as we speak up in New York. And, Damon, I hear special things about this particular group of fans that comes out to this course. Number one, give us your thoughts on that. What's your experience watching this? And how does it affect different players when they're playing through this and that dynamic is out there?
That's a great question, and I can tell you as a former New York resident for 12 years, who's played Bethpage Black about a half dozen times, this is the locals' golf course. You're going to have fans that are out there telling the players, hey, I hit it there too, Tiger. I mean, they're going to be mixing it up with the gallery, the gallery mixing it up with the players. And if you're still mixing it up They love talking sports with the players. And if you're Sergio Garcia, you may recall, they heckled Sergio because he was really gripping his clubs and waggling, and they were counting 1, 2, 3. If you've got thin skin, you're not going to survive this week because no fact goes unspoken in a New York gallery. They like to mix it up, have fun, you know, poke a little fun with the players as well. You got to embrace it because it's a loud gallery. It's going to be a huge gallery as well. They love talking Jets and Mets and Knicks and Giants and Yankees and Rangers and Islanders. If you're a sports fan, all a Tiger, all a Phil, just give it back to them and have a lot of fun. If you got thin skin, you picked the wrong week for myself, my friend.
Do you like that's the change of pace for golf, or do you wish that more of the places on the tour would have a little bit more of that?
I like this. I like it on select weeks. I like it in Phoenix. I like it during a New York major. And think about this, guys. In 5 years, this will be the host of the Ryder Cup 2024.
Oh, wow.
And that's where you hear a New York crowd like you've never heard before, because that's where it's going to be. A lot of the patriotism will come out, and you're going to have the New York fans going absolutely nuts for the American side and wanting to beat the Europeans. So to me, this is almost a perfect Ryder Cup venue. We're going to be able to enjoy that in 5 years' time. But you know what? I like Augusta being Augusta. I like the kind of polite applause of a Masters and the kind of interesting roars of an Open Championship that's different. And, but a New York gallery, it'd be weird if they were whispering and polite. You know, it just doesn't seem to fit the attitude of most New Yorkers. This is a sporting event without question.
Good stuff as always, Damon. Really appreciate the visit. Have a good time. Yeah, thanks.
Thanks so much.
Damon Hack from the Golf Channel. Brooks Koepka is your current leader, 6 under. He is through 15. Luke List is 4 under, and he's through 13 on the day. Lorenzo Vera is 2 under, and he is done. So he is in the clubhouse with a 68 today at Bethpage Black for the PGA Championship. Tommy Fleetwood also 2 under. So we'll keep you posted on that throughout the course of the day. Titans wide receiver Corey Davis will join us at noon to kick off the third hour. Also, we'll head to Memphis and talk to Pete Pranica, talk about the number 2 pick overall and the new trend that may be happening in college basketball when it comes to coaching hires. And maybe it started right here in this state. Barry Melrose at 1 o'clock, Tim Corbin at 1:30. So a loaded Thursday show here on Darren and Donick. Back to wrap up the second hour next. We love talking fantasy football on this show, so I'm going to hit you with this, Willie, to wrap up the second hour. Yes, I was doing this last night. I don't know why. I just happened to stumble across some, you know, where they've already putting out mock drafts for next year's NFL draft, which they have Judy as the number 1 pick overall, a wide receiver from Alabama, Jerry Judy, which is silly because Tua and Herbert are going to go 1 and 2. We've just seen it. People are going to overpick quarterbacks. But I was looking at this was CBS compiling all their people, right, and doing a mock draft. And it played out by the number of picks in their order how it would come out. So I ask you, so they went on and did their fantasy, and this is PPR, okay? So it's a point per reception. So keep that in mind. Who do you think they had as this year's number 1 overall pick in fantasy football?
Number 1 overall pick in fantasy football in a PPR league.
In a PPR league.
Man, Darren, I'm trying to get my fantasy baseball team out of the cellar.
I know.
Okay?
I know.
I just got out of the cellar. I'm trying to get up to 10th. All right? And you hit me with this.
Mm-hmm.
I have not thought about fantasy football. It's May.
Okay.
I have.
Now I'm asking you to think about it.
Maybe this is my problem. Maybe I just need to start studying a lot earlier for these drafts that come up months from now.
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to start paying attention to this stuff.
I mean, we're going to be talking about it. It's getting close to that time to start having people on to start. Look, drafts. I've got a draft, the PPR, up in Bowling Green coming up in
4 months.
Three months. That's not that long.
Okay, could you give me a hint? I don't know where you're going.
I've already been studying, so.
Okay, so what's your guess? This is CBS.
It has to be either Patrick,
all their peeps.
It has to be Patrick Mahomes or Saquon Barkley.
Barkley's got to be
is
the
number
answer,
one.
Right?
Barkley is number 1.
Ha.
Number 2.
Okay, so one of the things I think about, how far has Gurley slipped? Because Gurley has been...
That is, yes, I was paying close attention to that.
Because the last couple years, Gurley has been money for anybody's fantasy team, including mine.
They have him slipping.
How far?
Well, be your guess. First round or not first
round? Come on, he's got to still be first round.
First pick in the second round.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay, this is PPR, but he's caught his share of passes.
Well, PPR, remember, running backs who can catch the ball are going to be vitally important.
Which means, I mean, he didn't catch nothing. You know, so, he's caught his share.
So with that being said, who would be number two? Isn't that amazing? I mean,
okay, so Le'Veon Bell, who has not been,
should be ashamed of himself.
Alvin Kamara, okay,
number two overall.
Okay, in that league, I can see that.
Can barely get on the field in Tennessee.
I've never played in a league where that's
until Jalen Hurd quit, and this guy is projected to be the number two overall pick in fantasy football this year in a PPR league. Alvin Kamara.
I've never been in a PPR league, so I don't really know how to equate that.
Well, just think of it as what we traditionally, but then add the points per a point per reception. So there's a little twist.
All right. So where is Le'Veon Bell, having sat out the entire year?
There's another good one.
Still first round?
Second round. Fourth pick in the round.
He's caught plenty of passes over the course of his career.
Well, but right, he sat out an entire year, so that they are factoring in major rust.
All right, where is Mahomes? Is he in the?
I was going to ask who's the first quarterback off the board.
They don't even have a quarterback in the first round.
Not even Mahomes.
Typically, that
in
you're
a
right.
PPR,
I know,
okay.
But you're right. He'll probably go first round, but they've got him in the second round.
Is he the first quarterback?
Nobody believes he's going to put up the same numbers, but how do you not take a guy that threw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns as the first quarterback?
It has to be either him or Drew Brees, I would think, as your number one quarterback in fantasy
Although,
football.
One could make the case that he's going to be without his number one target. Right?
That's right.
So that has to factor in. I don't know how much. And, oh, by the way, he lost his really, really, really good back in Kareem Hunt.
How far is David Johnson on that list now?
He is down to the final pick in the first round, which I thought was high.
Wow.
Honestly.
So you would take David Johnson over Todd Gurley?
Yeah, I know. That's like I said, this is just
CBS. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
that's what I was saying.
I'd find that hard
I'm not taking David Johnson over Todd Gurley. I can tell you that.
Or Le'Veon Bell, really. Would you take him over Bell?
Probably not. I mean, the Jets are going to give him the ball, whether he works out this summer or not with the team.
Christian McCaffrey was pick three.
Well, he catches a lot of balls.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Barkley,
PPR,
Kamara, McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott, Melvin Gordon, and then the first wide receiver, the sixth pick. And if you remember yesterday, who brought this up? Tim Hasselbeck brought it up. Devontae Adams. Remember, he was praising first receiver taken.
Wow, over Julio.
Which it started, ironically, in this. Hopkins was the very next pick, followed by Jones, Julio, the very next pick. So it went Adams, Hopkins, Jones, then James Conner, then Juju Smith-Schuster, and Michael Thomas.
So let me ask you guys this. Out of all the rookies, which is going to be the first rookie in fantasy football off the board that you think?
The first rookie.
Oof.
Well, this was a year where there were not a lot of skill players taken in the first round.
Kyler Murray.
One running back and what? Two receivers taken in the first round?
Yes.
That's it? And all late?
Other than the tight ends. And those guys aren't going to go too high in the draft, I wouldn't think.
No, because you'll have the Kelseys and the Ertz. No more Gronk, but they'll go high and then there'll be a drop-off, right?
It's a great question.
Ebron will probably now be up there in that mix.
So I can't think of anybody that's going to go super high. Who's the running back?
Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs was.
But is he going to go
high? Figured in? Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't know. Raiders? It depends on how many people are in your league, because if everybody's taking running backs early on and then that second round you're kind of stuck having to look for another running back, then if Josh Jacobs is on the board, you know.
Well, you know how it works, though. Prior to a draft, there's a lot of depending on exactly when you have your draft, if you have it before the preseason game start, the rookie stock will go up or down a lot based on how they do in the preseason games. True? Like if Jacobs all of a sudden becomes a big story and emerges in these mini camps and then in the preseason practices, that can have your stock go up. I can see A.J. Brown in a perfect world. He could get into a part where he is draftable.
That's where I was going next. Who's the first Titan selected?
In the fantasy draft?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's got to be Derrick Henry.
It's got to be?
Yes.
The first one taken?
Yes. Who else would, just by virtue of default?
Yeah.
That is true, because you do have to stack up on running backs. And
yeah, come on.
If he's your alternate running back every week.
Somebody will be tempted based on his performance in the final quarter of the season. True? If he is healthy in training camp, he's getting picked before any other Titan.
Yeah.
No way. I mean, Davis would have to just be the talk of the fantasy world, right? He'd just have to be lighting it up in camp for him to rise to that level. Unless you think Delanie Walker coming off a year that he had, his stock is just going to be down.
But remember, right? Derrick Henry's was four games. But it was like a four-game window.
But if you had him in your lineup, you won four games.
I know, I did. It was special, but that's it. Up until that point, complete disappointment. A bust.
Yes. I mean, it worthy of a high draft pick.
Well, I'm saying, somewhere in rounds 4 to 6? Does that sound right?
He did give you some points as a short yardage. You know, he could get some touchdowns on some goal line situations, but those last 4 or 5 games are going to have his stock up there.
Now, a couple of other names.
Maybe not in a PPR league.
That you didn't mention because of the uncertainty. David Johnson, where is he going to be? Todd Gurley, all this. What about Antonio Brown? They've got him in the second round. Does everybody see that? Slipping all the way to the second round? Le'Veon Bell, second round? By the way, George Kittle will be the other tight end that will get, like, Ertz and Kelsey drafted really, really high. A.J. Green seems to be a guy, we were talking about Andy Dalton earlier, seems to be sliding down draft boards.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I'm draft, if I'm late in the first round and there's not, of course, because usually in some leagues if you get the last pick, you usually get the first pick of the second round. If Antonio Brown's still on the board, I'll probably get him second round, like early second round.
And that's kind of where they have him pegged. Well, more like mid second round.
I'm just glad you guys are so prepared for the fantasy draft. May 17th or whatever day this is.
You can never be too
May
16th.
Prepared,
can you? Is there such a thing? Has anybody ever
said
to you,
how many leagues are you going to be in
school.
This year?
You did a lot of schooling. Did anybody ever go, you know what? You study too much. Is there such a thing? Like, you study too much. What's your problem, man? Like, nobody says that.
How many leagues
are
you?
You're so overprepared. It's ridiculous. It's embarrassing how overprepared you are. Like, who says that?
Was this a problem for you at the University of Kentucky?
No. These are things that were never floated my way. Hey, I saw you in the library yesterday. Never said to me.
Okay, so how many fantasy leagues are you going to be in? I mean, what are we working
three.
On that?
I told you, 3 is my max. I will not do more than 3.
Marquise, how many leagues are you in each year?
I usually just do 1.
Okay, good.
And just go all out.
That's good. I'm very proud of you.
So let me ask you guys this. What goes first, Titans defense or Mariota?
We're asking fantasy questions May 17th.
Why not?
Hey, these are
16th.
Once again,
it's not even May 17th.
Somebody's drafting at the end of this week, possibly next
week. Who gets mad at people for being overprepared?
Somebody's drafting this early.
Who?
I don't know.
No,
I'll find
nobody's drafting.
Nobody's drafting a team.
Come on.
Or somebody's doing their own little Mel Kiper's mock draft, has a board in his room, writing down. So let me see. If Alvin Kamara's not available, I could get Ezekiel Elliott here. But
come
hold on.
If
I don't get
you're drafting in May, you can start transactions the next week. Right? I mean, you have to start transactions right now. Come on. That didn't happen. By the way, there is real news coming out of the Arizona Cardinals. Pro Bowl cornerback Patrick Peterson, he's pretty good, right?
Pretty good.
He has been suspended the first 6 games
Ooh.
Of the season for violating PED policy.
Performance enhancing drugs?
Yep.
Wow.
8-time Pro Bowler Patrick Peterson suspended for the first 6 games of the season for the Arizona Cardinals.
Sliding the Cardinals defense down my mock draft.
Mm-mm-mm. All right, we will come back. Should have Titans wide receiver Corey Davis to kick off the third hour. That's next on 102.5 The Game.